Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Wednesday to you, everybody. We come to you live for the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up here in approximately 30 minutes from now, we will be doing the 2018-2019 airing of the grievances. Myself, Mraz, Pete the Body, and Bogish will hold a roundtable discussion. We will address each other by name, looking each other in the eyes, and discussing what frustrates us about one another professionally. And thus, we will vent, air the grievances, hopefully use that as building blocks and a foundation to move on into a healthier, happier 2019 for this show. We can sometimes devolve into pettiness, pot shots, public frustration, and we want to be better than that in 2019. Joining us here on the show is a good friend of mine, does a wonderful job covering the New England Patriots, did so for a number of years for Comcast SportsNet New England / NBC Sports Boston, now for the NFL Network and NFL Media, my friend Mike Giardi. Mike, good morning and happy 2019.
And to you, that was a very touching intro right there. I'm tearing up a little bit.
Well, I did that so that I could get you to bash somebody else. If you had to air your grievances about the Boston media, now that you're on the outside, you're a national media guy like me, what might you say if you were to air your grievances?
Far too protective of some of the people and the of the athletes and the coaches that they cover. Far too protective.
Would that include Tom Brady?
Yes, he would fall into that category for sure.
Okay, very good. This sets up well. So I want to know if you checked out Mike Tanier's piece at Bleacher Report about the next-gen stats of Tom Brady at this point in his career yesterday.
I did.
Okay, so I kind of used this as a preface to bring you on. Last segment, we went over some of these, but just to reset here, average pass attempt yardage, pass completion yardage on field distance, intended air yards, third downs in four, third downs in short, all this stuff basically put him at in the 20s on most rankings. And on third and four, his completion percentage is down to 50%. Just 2 years ago, it was 65. This year, the league rate was about 59. So by all metrics, he's down in all of this. Do you assign most of the responsibility of that to Brady's age and diminished abilities or lack of big play weapons surrounding him?
I would lean more to the lack of big play weapons surrounding him, and not that I don't want to get caught in the trap of, it's just the weapons. It's just the weapons, because that's one of the defenses of Brady. And I don't think that that's fair, because I think we've seen over the course of time, he's elevated players around him when he's playing well, regardless of their pedigree. But I do think that's part of it, because I think they came into this year and said, we still believe Rob Gronkowski has another 1 or 2 years of very good football left in him. Well, he played one really good game. That was the season opener. Then he got hurt. And while he's come back and had a couple games of fits and starts, he hasn't been the same guy. So right off the bat, you take away maybe the most uncoverable weapon in the National Football League. Losing Amendola was a big deal, and I'd say took Edelman better part of the season, even though his numbers look pretty good, to start looking like Edelman again. So that was part of it as well. And then to go back though to the quarterback, he got hurt against Tennessee. It's for some reason, here's another one. For some reason, no one wants to admit that the injury was real and the injury lingered, which baffles my mind, because if you're a Pats fan, I think you'd be looking at it and saying, well, we really hope that he's hurt, because we haven't seen him do some of the stuff that he's doing since that game, maybe ever. And if it's not injury, then what is it, you know? But to me, and I reported it, he was injured against Tennessee. That injury lingered. It may be to the point, and I was told it was a 4 to 6 week injury. It may be to the point where in that Jets game in the finale, you finally saw him look like himself. But boy, there was a stretch there where he was doing things, DA, that you were here for a while. He was doing things that, I've seen every pass he's ever thrown as a professional. I've covered him the entire time, and he did stuff I've never seen before.
So this is interesting, going back to your original point about being protective about certain sacred cows in Boston. Boston is an amazing city for many reasons. One of them is that everybody seems to protect everybody else, and there's this incredible sense of unity, and we're in this together. The Boston Marathon bombing really brought that to a national light. I mean, there's just no other metropolitan major areas in the United States that would shut down to find the guy. It was like, everybody shut down, we're finding the guy, and they did. But in this case, it also, I think, deludes reality about Tom Brady. If you say anything critical, it becomes your clickbait or your hot taking, or mm-hmm. you're looking for attention. So how real in your mind, as an unbiased observer, is the diminished Brady age thing versus people kind of trying to avoid the reality within Boston as Patriots fans and media?
Well, so look, because of the injury to the left knee, he didn't move in the pocket like he has in the past, like he certainly did last year when he was MVP. And you could argue maybe the year before he was even better than the year that he won the MVP. And one of the things that he had worked on was pocket movement. And you're saying, man, that guy is probably moving better at 40 than he did when he was 30. You didn't see that over the last 6 weeks of the season, with the exception of one play against the Jets where he rolls out and hits Philip Dorsett for the touchdown in the finale. But to me, the arm is still close. Maybe it's a tick below what it used to be, but he still makes the throws that he's made his living on within that 15 to 20 yard area. He can still drive the ball to the deep outer third on the comeback route, as well as, or as close to as he's ever had has. So I don't know that it's just that he's getting old, but I just think the one thing, again, I go back to is, you know, at times it looked like he lost his nerve in the pocket. And like I said, you better ascribe that to injury, because if you're losing your nerve and it's not because of injury, then, well, what is it? Self-preservation? And self-preservation against the Pittsburgh Steelers, when the game is on the line and you're on the 20-yard line and you're flopping and fading away from throws and giving yourself essentially no chance to complete them, makes no sense to me. That's not the time where you self-preserve. That's the time where the guy that we know would stand in the pocket and when he'd deliver those throws and take a shot to the chin or take a shot to the hip or whatever, because it matters. You want to not do it in the second quarter against the Miami Dolphins in week whatever, 12? That I get. That's live to play another day. But when it's fourth quarter, 20 seconds left, you're trying to tie the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's when you stand in there and do it, and he didn't do it. So that's where, again, if you're a Patriots fan, supporter, you got to look at that and say, man, I really hope that's because he's hurt and he just can't afford to take a hit there, as opposed to, I don't like the way this is going, I'm just going to fling it up there, because that's not who he's been for the better part of his career.
That's a really good point. Mike Giardi joins us from the NFL Network. The one thing the Chargers bring to the table is a pass rush. And mm-hmm. Melvin Ingram and Bosa and the rest of those guys, they're going to collapse the pocket. If they get after Brady, is this a specifically bad matchup because of those things that you're just mentioning?
Well, what I think you're going to see, is that they're going to try to get it out quick. And actually, again, you were here. You watched it. When he's at his best, when Brady's at his best, that ball's coming out in 2.5 seconds or less. And that's exactly what you need to do against Bosa and Ingram and some of the other guys up front that create problems. And last year when they played the Chargers, everything was getting out quick. Then they would take their shots with Gronk, and he made some plays in the seam. Obviously, I think they're hoping that Gronk will give them a couple plays down the seam again to sort of loosen them up so he can come back underneath. He completed, I believe, last year in their Week 8 game, 14 of 15 to running backs. And it was all checkdowns, flares. I think there was one play where he bought some time, scrambled, and James White turned it up, and he made a longer play out of that. But by and large, when you attack cover three, Brady's had great success against cover three, and that's what base defense that the Chargers run. It's working the underneath stuff. And that, to me, that's always been where he's been at his best. Tom Brady has, to me, made his money throwing the short, quick stuff, getting in rhythm, getting some tempo going, and I think that's the way you beat the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers have basically decided to become a team that plays three, and as you saw last week, four safeties and seven defensive backs, in part because their linebackers are hurt or not very good. And now, you know, if you're doing that quickly, you're going to put a little stress on them because those guys, while they have been up there and played some snaps as linebackers, they're not linebackers, and their reaction time is going to be a little bit different.
Give me your read on Josh McDaniels, because a year ago, we all assumed he backed out of the Colts job because he was promised the Patriots head coaching job. And now a year later, at the very least, we saw that he was interested in the Packers job. So it seemed like, okay, well, maybe he wasn't promised then the Patriots head coaching job. What do you think changed within the year for McDaniels, and where do you think he fits long-term for the Patriots?
Well, now you remember they insist that there was no wink, wink, nod, nod.
Right.
Whether you believe that or not is another story unto itself. I think Josh,
I've heard there are some things that the Patriots say that they don't mean. I've heard that. I'm not sure about that.
It has happened once or twice over the course of time. I think he wanted Cleveland. And I think the surprise, surprise is Cleveland didn't want him. And that to me was the fallout from last year. And I don't think there's any question people can work themselves up again. Some of the media here can work themselves up into a lather about why, no, that didn't make sense. And it wouldn't know he's still a great coach. And I'm not denying any of that stuff, but he wanted Cleveland and ended up in his hometown paper in Ohio, where his family still resides, that he's very interested in Cleveland. Well, where did that come from? That came from, I'm quite certain, came from Josh's father. He wanted in. They didn't want him. And that's, to me, completely related to the Colts and walking away from them at the 11th hour, you know, the day before the press conference, and that there was some residual from that, and that he's going to have to, I don't know, maybe it's just time that's going to take that away. But that certainly was a surprise to me that the hometown boy with the bright offensive mind couldn't even get an interview with Cleveland and that up-and-coming job.
Okay, so your read is that he was never guaranteed to succeed Belichick, and if he wants to go out and become a head coach again, he would pursue jobs that he would want, like the Cleveland job. So what do you think then was the reason, I hope I'm not putting words in your mouth, but what do you think then the reason is that he backed out of that Colts job?
Well, I think when it comes to the Patriots job, I don't know that everybody know. I don't know that Josh or anyone else knows the timetable for Bill Belichick. And I don't. And clearly the Krafts, you can say, hey, you wink, wink, nod, nod. You're the next guy. You're the front runner to be the next guy. Well, if Bill wants to coach till he's 70 or 71, it's another 4 years, 5 years. Does Josh want to hang around for four or five more years and then be all of a sudden go from the hot young coaching commodity to being in his late 40s and having tasted another head coaching job since he was 32 years old with Denver? I think that's one of those things where even if there is a wink, wink, nod, nod, if Bill hasn't decided when he's going to go, or maybe Bill got energized again this year and said, I'm not even close to being done, then Josh has to look around, because I don't think you want to sit here and be the offensive coordinator for another 4 or 5 years. But that's crazy that he would waste that much time sort of waiting around. And honestly, with the Colts thing, it's really hard to figure because there's another one. Josh never really gave a straight answer about that, about why it was. And you heard talk about his family. Well, you know, then this year he puts out, you know, mid-year, well, my family's cool if we move. You know, if we go to the right situation, my family's cool. So, wait, it was family last year and it isn't family this year? I don't think we ever really got a good answer. The one thing I could tell you is maybe that there was some trepidation about Jim Irsay and just the way that organization has been run. Although I would counter that by saying, you know, Irsay may have his personality quirks and ticks, but he's generally stayed out of football business. He's not Jerry Jones holding press conferences after games and having a radio show midweek and doing all that stuff. No, he comes in there and gives bizarre post-game speeches, but he tends not to have anything to do with X's and O's and personnel on your team.
And has not fired coaches quickly. I mean, Jim Caldwell got 3 full years there, and Pagano had a number of years there. And I kind of agree. I would be worried about working for Jim Irsay as well, except the proof is it seems like he's let coaches do what they needed to do, let GMs do what they needed to do, and stayed out of the way and not been impulsive, right?
Oh, for sure. And anybody who would argue otherwise, I mean, that's the proof's in the pudding. Pagano was there probably 2 years longer than he should have been. But he kept him and he stayed with him. I think it was 5 or 6 years, which is a pretty long time for an organization that clearly kind of got stuck in neutral and was spinning the, you know, the 8-8, 7-9 carousel for a while there. So I actually thought that the Colts job was the job last year to take, and he didn't do it. And this year, I thought the Cleveland job's the job to take, and he couldn't get a taste of it.
Mike Giardi joins us from NFL Network. Final question, Mike. Do you think we see the Patriots yet again in the AFC title game?
I do, but I think this will be the toughest divisional round game they've had since probably the Ravens came into town in 2014-15 when it took the double pass and it took the crazy formations with the offensive linemen, illegal, not illegal receivers that forced them to change the way they identify the rules. I think the Chargers are a very good football team, very capable, very talented. I think this Patriots team has come down a little bit. They're still good, but by the measure of what we've looked at them over the years, they've come down to the pack. The pack's come up a little bit. I think it's going to be a dogfight, but in the end, I'll take a little Brady magic. I'll take the extra week off, maybe getting them to close to 100%, maybe giving Rob Gronkowski a little extra jump in those legs, and then we'll see what happens when they get to the AFC title game, where that is. Because if the Colts knock off the Chiefs, holy crap, you're playing another home game for the AFC title yet again.
Incredible. Mike Giardi joining us this morning here on the show. Follow him on Twitter at Mike Giardi. Follow all of his reports from New England, Boston, the Patriots, everything else for the NFL Network and NFL Media. Always good to catch up, Mike. Happy New Year to you, buddy. Thanks so much for the time this morning, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again.
Thanks to you.
You got it. Mike Giardi joining us this morning here on the show. It's pretty amazing that the Patriots could have the third best record of the AFC and could host 2 playoff games to get the bye. I mean, that'd be the ultimate break. Now, I agree with Mike. This is going to be one of their toughest divisional round matchups ever in the Brady Belichick era because the Chargers have a better record. The Chargers were 12-4 this year. The Chargers were a game better than the Patriots, but it just so happened that because they were the AFC West, they end up being the wild card. But imagine being the third best record in the AFC and getting a bye and 2 home playoff games, which could absolutely break their way if the Colts end up knocking off the Chiefs and the Patriots, of course, end up doing their business against the Chargers. When we come back, why haven't the Jets hired Mike McCarthy? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
And I want mango habanero. I want to eat mango habanero wings after the fight.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We're only 10 minutes away from the airing of the grievances, so make sure you stick around for that. We here on the DA show annually want to vent our frustrations about one another to hopefully clear the air. You know, it's always like when you fight with a loved one and then afterwards you go, okay, it was good to get that off our chest. As long as it does not linger as a personal attack, it is a healthy way to vent frustrations and to build a foundation of trust and move on. And so we will do that once again here on the DA Show. It was backed by popular demand because Pete the Body Bilotti had his wedding this year, the Holly Jolly Bilotti.
All right.
We did not have a long time in December that we were all together, and so finding a date that would work really didn't work for us. So we had to wait until after the new year. Finally, we're here to do that. And coming up here in about, like I said, 10 minutes or so, we'll do our airing of the grievances. Speaking of, we've had some questions on the old Twitter machine about whether or not the listeners can contribute. Dixieland Dan tweets, can the D-Aliens also air our grievances and clear the stuff we have on our minds about the mothership? And absolutely, yes. This is an airing of the grievances for everybody, both us and you. So if you have something that you are frustrated by, feel free to tweet it at the show. DA on CBS is the handle.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Or feel free to call the show. 855-212-4CBS. That's toll free. 855-212-4227. They're only two wins away from heading to the Super Bowl. Who is it going to be? Perennial contenders, the Patriots, led by the legendary Tom Brady, or Philip Rivers and the Chargers, who will punch their ticket to the AFC Conference Final. The action kicks off of the NFL today, powered by Ram Trucks at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on the home of Super Bowl 53, CBS! I have a good inkling of what Mraz's airing of the grievances might start with. Why have the Jets not hired Mike McCarthy yet? According to Schefter, Mike McCarthy does not want to be considered for any head coaching job except the Jets. This is kind of interesting. I mean, when have the Jets ever been the primary job one of the coaching candidates wanted and nobody else? Do the Jets ever get a guy that says, I'm Jets or nobody? Sorry. Hang up the phone to my agent. I don't want to hear anything coming out of any place else. Screw Cleveland, screw Tampa, screw Arizona. I'm not interested. I want the Jets or bust. I mean, the Jets never get that. So the New York Jets, who have continuously tried to find the head coach that will be there for the long haul and have churned over assistant coach after assistant coach after assistant coach, whether it was Rex Ryan or Eric Mangini or Todd Bowles, go down the list of continuously finding former assistant coaches, getting their first head coaching job, and ultimately going bust. You could do way worse than Mike McCarthy. I understand that Mike McCarthy comes with his own set of warts. This is a guy that could not take advantage of Aaron Rodgers in his prime. I understand there is going to have to be a leap of faith that what went wrong in Green Bay, where things went stagnant and things went stale, that doesn't carry over. But when you look at the Jets head coaching candidates over the last couple of years, over the last, let's say, since Parcells, Al Groh for a year, Herm Edwards, Mangini, Rex Bowles. You are not talking about highly decorated individuals here. You've got a Super Bowl winning head coach out there that was by far the most qualified out of any of the head coaching candidates. If he wants the Jets, I just don't quite understand what's taken the Jets so long to say yes. And I'm not saying that you should allow a head coach to hold you at gunpoint, but, I mean, frankly, are you going to do better than Mike McCarthy if you're the New York Jets right now? Because better than Mike McCarthy means you're taking a huge swing on an unknown, like Matt LaFleur now in Green Bay, like Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona, you are going to have to go down that road. I mean, Bruce Arians, I think, was a bust of a hire for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so I wouldn't have suggested the Jets go down that road. I don't know. Pete the Body Bilotti, you're a Jets fan. Do you want Mike McCarthy as your next head coach?
At first, I did not. I did not want to go down that road. I wanted the Jim Harbaugh.
Okay.
Or John Harbaugh.
Either Harbaugh.
Yeah, but now that's off the table, and there's really no candidate like Mike McCarthy out there. I would suggest they go get him right now.
Okay, so you're in.
Yeah.
And it's nice that he wants to be a Jet, right?
Yeah, that's stunning. It's a stunning development. As you said, you never get that. I mean, a Super Bowl winning head coach saying that. That's remarkable. So I think the Jets need to go down this road. They need someone there that has some experience. They can't go to college. They can't go the assistant route. I think they have to have someone with some previous experience.
Somebody with some juice.
Yeah, a little juice. We need a little juice.
A little juice. Mraz, who is the second best candidate for the Jets right now?
If it's Jim Caldwell, so help me, please.
I mean, really, if you're picking between McCarthy and Caldwell, it feels like a slam dunk.
It's got to be McCarthy. The guy has won a Super Bowl. And we could talk about everything that happened with Aaron Rodgers at the end of him not liking him. You know, eventually he bumped heads. Nobody's calling Bill Belichick an idiot because Tom Brady and him reportedly weren't getting along the last couple of years. I know that's a little different, but the guy's a stable head coach. Coached 3 NFC championship games. Won a Super Bowl. Let's get serious here. The Jets never have stability at the head coaching position. Go get him. Enough. Figure it out.
Mike McCarthy went to the playoffs 9 times in Green Bay. 9 times. Now, granted, had obviously one of the best quarterbacks ever, and at the beginning had Brett Favre, so 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks. But he went to the playoffs 9 times. I don't see how the Jets wouldn't pull the trigger on this. What are they waiting for?
Do you want to fool around with the coordinator and mess up Sam Darnold? Do you want a guy who obviously figured out how to make it work with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and go roll with that?
If I'm the Jets, today I'm hiring Mike McCarthy. I'm not waiting any longer. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. If you'd like to air your grievances, DA on CBS on Twitter as well. When we come back, we air our grievances for 2019. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
I mean, really, something about your dog, about your cat, about your girlfriend, lack of girlfriend, something. Your mom, your dad, anyone. Give me something a little more juice.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
So glad you're with us. 41 minutes past the hour on a wonderful Wednesday here on the DA Show. We appreciate you being with us, and there's so many ways you can listen to the show. Remember, on your phone, you can download the CBS Sports app and listen to us there, or radio.com. That's a wonderful app to use. I use that a lot for audio and things that I want to listen to podcast-wise, etc. And you can listen to us on Apple Music. You could also watch the show on any device. The simulcast going on at watchda.com. It is time for the airing of the grievances. And so coming up here in just a few moments, we will begin the proceedings. If you have an airing of your grievances, if you'd like to vent about your frustrations with any part of the show, you could do so by calling us up at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. So now our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. I want to go to the phones first to bring in our caller to kind of start the event. And John is in Kansas City, listening online, CBSSportsRadio.com. Good morning, John.
Hello, DA. How's things?
Very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
Now, my grievance is about your EP, Sean Mraz.
Okay.
I really enjoy the last part of the year hearing that 5-minute audio montage of The Year of the Doofus.
Yes.
And then on New Year's Day, I listen to him host the show, and he's intelligent, he's sharp, he's coherent. I mean, is he playing a role? But it's good, it's funny, I like it. But it's, you know, like learning that Tom Smothers was actually the brains of the Smothers Brothers.
Well, John, here's what I think is the difference, and let me try to explain Mraz a little bit.
Oh, let me sit back.
I think Mraz, in specific scenarios, is quick and smart, and he can do the job. That is hosting a sports radio show. That is his wheelhouse. He is employable in that way. He knows sports. He certainly knows football. He knows how to talk about sports. He has lots of hot opinions about sports. And so this is a very safe zone for Mraz. Very safe. Where we find Mraz to be a functioning idiot is when we throw him out of that realm. We're asking him to do diligence on research. We're asking him to do diligence on work and audio editing. We're asking him to organize or lead. We're asking him to do very mature leadership type, organizational type skills. And he does not have that skill set, at least not naturally. It takes a lot to drag that out of him. Also, Mraz is highly motivated when it serves himself. So when he is hosting a radio show and it has his name on it and the spotlight is on him, he is highly motivated to do that really well. When it is not about his success or his attention, his motivation goes into the tank. So you have
a Barbie girl in the Barbie world.
He has often said, if you would just buy me a cookie every day, I would work harder for you. If you would let me wear sweatpants every day, I would work harder for you. This is a constant theme. So Mraz is very good in his very specific areas. But then also, if you add on to that geography, history, linguistics, grammar. This is totally out of his wheelhouse. Talking about sports, very good. Everything else, very bad. Oh, I should include this. Talking about food, very good. Very good. Highly, highly skilled. And I will text Mraz or talk to Mraz about recipes, about cooking, about food stuff. And I take, look, his opinion there is worth his weight in gold to me. But when we start getting outside of those two areas, the two silos, sports and food, it goes bad very quickly.
So if he has 10 units of brain power, he's using like 9.4 of them on sports and food. The other 0.6 is for everything else in life.
And I don't know if it's 0.6. Yeah, okay. I think it's closer to a 0.3.
I think
we
stumped
them. From the window to the wall. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Is that unfair?
No, those are definitely my two strong
points. You have
rebuttal? But I mean, as far as brain power, I know how to take care of my dog. I make the bed. Like, I do basic things.
My shoes are mostly tied.
Okay, so Bubba's in a car.
So you know how to feed a dog and walk it, and
my food shop for my house,
fix your bed. Now, that's food.
Okay,
that's food. So
fat,
fix your bed, and walk the dog.
And I know garbage schedule outside.
Garbage schedule.
Your dog care.
Tuesday night
involves your taste testing.
Hefty,
it's waste. Turds.
Yeah. All right, again, kept the dog safe, though, didn't I? He didn't die until a couple of months later.
So we have, again, hit exactly what the 0.3 of the bed.
Oh, give it to me, big boy. Again, you say it on a basic life functions, those are pretty basic.
All right, it's time for the airing of the grievances. Now, we do this as a healthy exercise to clear away the past and to jump into the future. Usually, we've done this in December, but now, since it's just after the new year, we will do it in January. And so, Mraz, I'll give you the stage to lead things off kind of like a Trash Tuesday. Feel free to air your grievances.
Yeah, I'll try to get through these very quickly. Number one, my Pete trash has got to be, he has a side computer here that never seemingly is on, but when it is on, it is my easiest route to get roll on quick drops for the Epic Fail and stuff. And anytime it comes to me having to do an Epic Fail and I ask him, hey, can you do this? I get the huff and the puff. It's like some kind of big catastrophic problem I'm asking to do it, but yet the guy will take 3 weeks to schedule 2 days around here at CBS Sports Radio. So I'm just tired of Pete stressing about the wrong stuff and the basic stuff I suffer from, such as leave that damn computer on. With Andrew Bogish, you know what? Bogish had a pretty good year since I railed on him pretty good about his career. But if I could only just one thing on the show that bothers me more than anything, DA asked you about something last year, and I'm asking you to alter it. Enough with the international soccer. I don't care who Barcelona Dragons are fired. Where Pele's playing next year. You want to give me an MLS? I'm fine with it. I understand it. Mm. This is on in the U.S. and Canada. Stop. I don't care about the Libres Tigers, okay? Stop it. And DA...
Yes.
Just yours, all right? Yeah. Really, you've been good to me, too, this year. I'm just going to say, your memory, I don't know what's going on. You can't remember a damn thing anymore. Uh-huh. You don't, first of all, you didn't remember last year that, last week that I still do Up the Gut Picks. You focus so much on Robbie. And if I ask you to do something in the morning beforehand, I get to it in like the 11 a.m., hey, did you record this for whatever? You look at me, you fumble through papers like you're lost. Yeah, I had this conversation with you 3 hours later. You have a bad way of shuffling your brain power, and I'm the one to judge on brain power, but your memory sucks, and I'm just asking your memory to get better in 2019.
It's a Festivus miracle!
All fair. We're trying to clear the air our grievances, to move on and be more constructive as teammates moving into 2019. Pete the Body Bilotti, time for you to air your grievances.
Yes, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to air grievances to the show as a whole, all of us together. Okay. I thought all of us individually, we had a great year. I'm really happy with everything and how it all went down. I'm very pleased that you guys came to my wedding, had a good time. One thing I was not pleased about was Sandwichgate.
Ah.
This year, it was really insulting to the work I do here, talking about my habits in terms of picking breakfast/lunch. I'm going to have what I want, and that's it. Leave me alone. I don't bother you with your food selections, with DA, with your yogurt, Sean, with everything that you eat. I don't bother you. So let me be. I'm going to eat when I want. That's it.
Fair.
That's all I ask.
Fair.
Very fair. Also, enough of comparing everything to the 85 Bears. Every time we talk about a defensive team in the NFL, we have to compare them to the 85 Bears. Or any team that's good in the NFL, we have to compare them to the 85 Bears. So let's lay off of that a little bit, please.
Okay.
Also, enough of people coming up the ramp and looking in the studio like we're a bunch of zoo animals. I've had it. I've had enough of that. Show us a little bit of respect. We are doing a very fine radio program. I would like people to come up here and ask us to take a look at the program or watch the program. That's all I want. I'm very simple this year. I'm very relaxed for what I've been. And I'm very happy. So that's my grievances.
All right. Fair. That's the airing of Pete's grievances.
George, Festivus is your heritage. It's part of who you are.
Fast forward to next year, Pete's grievance. Stop asking me if you can watch the show. Just walk up the hallway and look and leave.
Fair.
Andrew Bogish, you can air your grievances.
I'm going to start with Peter. You have a strange knack, and this is on the air, off the air, more particularly off the air, of starting stories in mid-thought in your head. So I have to catch up to where you already are, and I don't always know, or like cryptic, like, you know, that thing with Sean. And I'm like, well, there's like seven things are with Sean. I don't know where we're going here. So we end up having this weird false start to conversations. I personally need a refresher sometimes as to where you are in certain conversations. And then for you two guys, a joint one. This happened most recently last week. Every once in a while, like, my career will come up. Like, you were talking about Delaware last week. Where's the game going to be on? Who's he working with? I'm sitting right out there. If you need me, just call me, and I'm more than happy to come in and discuss my life with you guys. Is that if you two just sitting here spitballing about what might be going on, I've got all the facts right outside this tiny room.
George, Festivus is your heritage. It's part of who you are.
All right, I'm starting with Bogish for my airing of the grievances. Bogish, stop banging your head on our brand new camera. We paid a lot of money for that. We are already the special team show of CBS Sports Radio. We can't afford a lot of new equipment. You keep banging your damn head on that. Just duck and move around it. I do it every single day. Also, around that camera, duck under that. You keep walking through the shot. Kaplan back there wants to pull his hair out.
Yeah, we discussed this yesterday.
We pay a lot of money for this. Also, be meaner. When Mraz rips your career, be mean back to him. You don't have to take it. He can be a blubbering buffoon. You can call him that.
Okay. You're a blubbering buffoon.
Thank
you. Love you.
Pete, the Body Bilotti, I just ask, be more patient when I have to change the play on the fly. Radio Genius has to be flexible. I try to be structured. I try to be organized. I try to tell you guys what is coming, but I can't always do that because sometimes you have to improvise. It's like Patrick Mahomes scrambling on 4th and 20. You just have to let it happen. I don't mean to be difficult. I really don't. I know I am sometimes. I'm just asking for more patience on that. And for Merez, stop squeezing me on the PGP. We were told when you took the new job at CMB on the Fan that that wouldn't interfere with this job. Every week, it's like, I got to be out of here in 12 minutes. Sorry, guys, I got 12 minutes for the PGP. I want more than that. I want you to go in there and tell them, I've got responsibilities to the PGP, and it's going to be 20 minutes this week. Also, it's three dots on ellipses. Three dots. I've told you this 6 times. You did it again today. Again, the Mike Giardi quote. You keep putting 2 dots. It's 3 damn dots.
At the Festivus dinner, you gather your family around and tell them all the ways they have disappointed you over the past year.
The airing of the grievances.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.